Are you a Christian entrepreneur, coach, or author with a message that needs to be heard? Picture this, your voice reaching thousands, your story inspiring hearts, and your business flourishing like never before. Introducing Faithcasters, the ultimate platform that connects faith-driven professionals like you with the power of podcasting. Become a sought-after guest on faith-based podcasts. Share your unique insights and connect with like-minded individuals who share your passion for faith and entrepreneurship as well. Imagine your expertise reaching a wider audience, expanding your network, and propelling your business to new heights. Well, it's all within reach with Faithcasters. So don't wait. Take the first step today on your journey to greatness by visiting our website at faithcaster.org. That's faithcaster.org. Join the Faithcasters community now and unleash the full potential of your faith-driven enterprise. You do not want to miss this opportunity. Faithcasters, where faith meets podcasting and your dreams become reality. Visit faithcaster.org. Let's soar together. And remember, anyone can be a podcaster, but only a Christian can become a Faithcaster. Faithcasters, your voice, your platform, your success.
Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast with Pastor Bob Thibodeau. Pastor Bob conducts personal interviews with Christian influencers from around the globe, helping Christian authors, recording artists, CEOs, entrepreneurs, nonprofit leaders, and yes, pastors and ministry leaders to get the word out about what they are doing to impact the world with the gospel. Our podcast has been rated in the top 0.5% of all podcasts in the world by ListenNotes.com, so you know your message will be heard. Now, here is your host with today's interview, Pastor Bob Thibodeau.
Hello, everyone, everywhere. Pastor Bob Thibodeau here. Welcome to the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast today. We are so blessed to join you. What if I told you the end times might not begin with fire from heaven, but possibly information from your smartphone? What? Well, folks, think about it for a second. We're living in a time where knowledge spreads faster than truth can catch up. Technology is booming. Data is doubling by the day. And people are running to and fro, not just physically, but digitally as well. And yet, over 2,500 years ago, the prophet Daniel was told to seal up the message until the time of the end. A time, as the angel said, where many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall increase. Does that sound like now? Is this prophecy actually unfolding right in front of our eyes right now? Well, joining me today is our good friend, fellow Kingdom Voice, Scott Wright, host of the God-Centered Concepts podcast. And we're going to explore what Daniel saw, how it connects to today's headlines, and what this means for every believer who's watching, waiting, and preparing. Hey, man, praise God. Get ready. This is going to be a good session. Help me welcome back to the program, Scott Wright. Scott, welcome back. I've been looking forward to this discussion today, brother.
Hey, glad to be here and looking forward to another fun, fruitful discussion.
Amen. Well, Daniel 12:4 says, many shall run to and fro and knowledge shall increase. How do you interpret this prophetic verse in the context of the modern explosion of information? I mean, would you say this prophecy began unfolding at some historical point, like the printing press or the internet age or even something more recent?
So I've got a couple of takes on this. And the first part, the printing press, and I'm glad you brought that up. The printing press is obviously the start. It's really the invention that would eventually bring this about. And so the printing press is the start of this. And it's kind of the the catalyst invention, if you will. But it would take time to really realize it in a way that would be insanely profound. And but I'm also going to connect this to something else that, and I, you probably may not have this in your notes, but you and I did a breakdown of the seven ages of the church.
Mm-hmm.
Well, prophecy is totally connected to the last age of the church. And this prophecy is really is the inkling, the spark of what starts the last age of the church, to spread knowledge to and fro, and it will greatly increase. And it's the speed of it. And this, again, goes back to what I keep saying, is that the last age of the church started in the 1830s. And what happened was, that's when mass transportation and mass communication and mass production of consumer goods and stuff all started.
Yeah,
that was the time. And if you go back and you look at what life would have been like in the 1820s and compare it to the 1840s, there was this massive change. It all went mainstream in the 1830s. Mm. That's when the Church of Laodicea started. That was the catalyst, so to speak. And then, of course, Queen Victoria being crowned, all right, and being coronated would have been kind of the culminating moment. But I tend to look at this stuff in blocks of time, and then there's usually just a trigger moment, and she would have been the trigger moment for sure. But these pieces are so important because the Daniel prophecy is literally prophesying the last age of the church and what and thereafter. And so this is the spark that leads it all to the end. And 1830s is when all this went mainstream. Mm-hmm. So think it's like you and I have talked about this. We love this analogy is the chess pieces. Mm-hmm. All the chess pieces had been moved around. You know, think about it. The printing press. All these little uprisings in the church and changing of the papacy and the clergy and how that, you know, mm-hmm. the same year that the printing press was starting to be developed. So 1436 to 1438 was kind of that time Johannes Gutenberg started really developing this. And he had a guy by the name of Andres Drisden that helped him fund that in 1438 to keep it going so he could develop it. It would then take some more money in around the 1450. And then in 1454, it would go mainstream. That's when, and the fall of Constantinople will be in 1453. So this time period is kind of these little sparks.
Mm-hmm.
And these are when you start your opening moves with your pawns.
Yeah. Yeah.
And then the Protestant Reformation, you know, of course, would lead to King Henry VIII declaring himself head of the church and really breaking down the power of the Holy Roman Church. And I always say it's King Henry VIII's declaration and them forming the Church of England and him being excommunicated in 1538 is the switching of the fourth to the fifth age of the church. But without the Protestant Reformation, again, it's that block of time that you need. So you need these little you need these major events to trigger the actual moment. And so that's what happens. And those are all pieces of this prophecy that we're talking about today. Because what would happen is that breaking up, who would be the country that would industrialize first?
Mm-hmm.
They would have an agricultural revolution that would lead to an industrial revolution. They would be the first to industrialize. Britain became the most powerful nation that we have ever seen.
Mm-hmm.
And people, even today, Britain is about 2.5 billion people on earth call Britain their head of state.
Yeah.
There's like 54 commonwealths. Mm-hmm. So you got to see it. The sun never sets on the British Empire. Yeah.
Even Canada. Canada's its own nation.
Yeah.
But when, not to say that I ever participated in these activities, but when the clubs close in Canada, they close by singing "God Save the King."
Yeah, exactly. I mean, they still adhere to this.
Not that I would ever know that.
You know, Queen Victoria, Queen Elizabeth, and all them. So you know. But my point is this, is that this prophecy came, it really culminated in the 1830s. But all these trigger events and all these switching of the ages of the church led to this. And it was this increase of knowledge and this getting it faster and faster and faster that really did it. So without what happened there, think of cause and effect. Cause and effect is really the culminating theme that you need to pay attention to in all of this and all of prophecy. And the cause is the printing press, the Protestant Reformation, the Britain breaking away, and then the Age of Enlightenment. Okay, you got to think of all these pieces eventually leading all the way up to the 1830s, and the 1830s are the explosion. Yeah. And then from there on out, it was like, think of it this way. It was like somebody was walking on a 3.0 on the treadmill, and then all of a sudden in the 1830s, they turned it up to a 4. And then around 1900, after all these inventions had come in, guess what? They turned it up to a 6 all of a sudden, and now we're running at a 10.
Yeah.
I mean, just think of it in those terms on a treadmill.
Yep.
And that will really get you to understand, you know, now we're sprinting at world-class speed.
Yeah.
And you can't have it without those culminating of those trigger points. And it's like a chess game. You know, each of the pawns had to be moved and everything had to be put into place. And then it all took off. So the culmination, this prophecy is one of the most important prophecies to understanding the end times of any prophecy that we have. And there's many of them, and I don't want to diminish their impact, but this one is the real eye opener, the one that makes you step back and go, wait a minute. Yeah. Because life, I try to get my students to understand what I'm teaching. The life that we live didn't really start to come about until after World War II.
That's right.
Life was really slow before the 1830s, and then it started to speed up. And then you get World War I, and it speeds up, and then you get World War II, and it just, and then the 1980s was a total tech boom. Mm-hmm. And we're living at a faster pace of the 1980s is what we are. This hasn't been around very long.
Well, the scripture says many shall run to and fro. And that phrase often gets overlooked in favor of the knowledge part. I mean, could this also be a prophetic hint about, you know, global travel and migrations. Absolutely. And even digital communication like social media? How do you think these rapid movements of people and ideas are setting the stage for the end time events?
Because what's happening is, think of the amount of exposure to the amount of information that we have now. I mean, you and I were talking about something before the show, and look at how quickly we were doing the calculations.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I mean, it was like instantaneous.
Yeah. When I was in high school, that would have been like a final exam.
Exactly. You know, now it's an instantaneous calculation that we input into a computer, and it spits out the information in less than 10 seconds.
Yeah.
It might take a few minutes depending on the level of the calculation, but the you're right. The things we would have thought as a final exam, my goodness, if the calculation we did, if you'd have dialed it back 50 years ago, that would have been you getting your dissertation done.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Doctorate degree.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I mean, I couldn't imagine the slide rules and the all that stuff I'm trying to do that stuff when I was in school. I mean, it had been, this is due by the end of class. You know, this is the first week of class, you know, and you better hope you got it done. And we did it in 2 minutes. You know? But I can't let go of this rapid increase in technology and information. I mean, in light of the increase in knowledge, like I said, now we're using AI and biotech stuff and even digital currencies that we are talking about. And it's reshaping society itself. I mean, do you believe these advancements and so-called neutral tools, or are they possibly actually connected to a deeper prophetic timeline that believers need to pay attention to?
Yes. So, you know, you and I have talked about kind of what my how I fit, what my title should look like as a, you know, as a person, who, you know, biblical scholar, whatever you want to call me. Mm-hmm. Really what I am is a cultural biblical sociologist. Mm. because that's what I'm doing, is I'm giving you a prognostication on how it's changing society. And I actually teach sociology, and I've been teaching it for a while. And I have my master's degree in performance psychology. So I've, you know, and that's a lot of sociology involved with, you know, looking at that and psychology. But as you break this down in historical context and you look at the social changes, think about how quickly, and let's go with that speed thing again. Think about how quickly sociological and cultural views change now. I mean, it's almost like weekly. Mm-hmm. And it's because of what you said, the technology. Because the technology changes so fast, it is influencing our cultural outlook and our cultural perspective. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, used to, we talked a lot about cultural relativism. So when I talk in sociology, you know, if we go to a foreign country, we can't look at life in the same way that we do here in the U.S.
Right.
But now, people in other countries and people in the United States aren't as different as they used to be as far as in civilized society. I'm not talking tribal, you know, developing world areas, but I'm talking developed world areas. It's not looking much different anymore.
Right.
Amen. And this to and fro, the speed and the amount of exposure of information that people have is really changing. And you want to talk about the context of a one world government, a one world currency, a one world this and that, and even a place like Dubai. Mm-hmm. Okay. When we've talked about that, Babylon the Great. Well, I want you to think of it in this context. It is very quite possible that within a day you could be in Dubai and another day be in China, and then next day be back in the US, and then the next day be in England. I mean, it's possible. We have a reality show called The Amazing Race that does this.
Yeah, that's right.
Maybe. I mean, they're an 18 to 20 day period or something like that, or 25 days. And I love the show because I like seeing the different cultures and places they go. But people aren't acting. There are cultural differences for sure, but almost every place people speak English, one world language. We've got, you know, this one world theme keeps coming up. With this amount of information spreading to and fro this fast, the world's becoming not only more connected, we call it the global society, but it's starting to become very easy to envision more of a global governing.
Yeah. And that takes me to my next question, because Jesus said in Matthew 24:14, the gospel of the kingdom be preached in all the world, then the end will come.
Exactly.
And with knowledge spreading so fast, the gospel reaching even the most remote parts of the earth through the internet, do you believe we're living in the fulfillment of Daniel's words? And what other indicators do you want to measure where we are on the prophetic book?
Interestingly enough, I'm going to give you an example of this. So there's a friend of mine that's an outreach minister at a mega church in Northwest Arkansas here where I live. And he knows someone that is actually developing sign language in foreign languages.
Wow.
To spread the gospel. So this very thing you just talked about, she's doing this. This lady's doing this, and I don't know who the lady is, but the friend of mine that told me about what she was doing is just another example of making sure that every tongue, tribe, and nation. We're even talking about the tongues that cannot speak or hear. They can sort of speak, but they can't hear. Mm-hmm. So we're not just talking about spoken languages, but we're talking about sign languages in their language that they're used to dealing with.
Yeah.
So she's developing these type of things to spread the gospel. So this message of the gospel spreading in all these different realms, so to speak, is happening. So we think of it in terms of, hey, this area of the world, this geography hasn't been, you know, hasn't had enough gospel yet. But it's also the people, even in your area, that aren't getting the gospel. Everybody is going to have heard of it.
Yeah, that's right.
Think about it. Every person is going to have access to the gospel. Whether they accept it or reject it, it can be a different story. But somebody in that type of demographic is going to receive Christ. Because what it is God wants on his, when he's on his throne and he ends all of this, he draws the line in the sand and it is over. Mm-hmm. Okay. Guess what? At least one person from every demographic is going to be represented before the throne. And that's what he wants. He wants at least one person that he is, think about all these different races, ethnic groups, areas. He's created all of them. You know, we talk about, I'm not big on like woke agendas and everybody being different, but there are some differences. But God created those differences, and he wants every one of those differences set right before him. Set right before him, receiving Christ. You know, think about this. People who are living immoral lifestyles, he wants at least a representation of every one of those type of, every person that has lived in those type of realms to receive Christ and change to be represented before the throne. Yeah. He wants every person of every ethnicity represented before the throne. He wants somebody from every different type of, I guess, deafness to be represented before the throne. He wants all these differences, at least one person from every part. So we have to realize that and realize that it's becoming easier to speak to every one of those type of peoples.
Yeah, when I was in the military as a drill sergeant, we had a whole mixture of people, of course, and some were proficient, some were not proficient, let's put it like that. And, you know, I used to tell my trainees, I say, look, everybody can be used as an example, maybe a bad example, but it's still an example. So you're still represented there. But as we get ready to close, let's talk about the spiritual readiness in this age of overwhelming information, because we have so many voices now competing for attention online, in the media, even in churches, different denominations and everything else. How can believers stay grounded in the truth and not be swept away by the wrong kind of knowledge in these final days?
So here's how I'm going to say this. You really have this intense amount of information flowing at you all the time. So when people were living before the 1830s, all right, it was usually you were on one side or another. There was only two sides in conflict. There was only usually a couple of factions. There wasn't like 5,000 factions, right, of information flow anyway. There could be different groups. I'm not saying that, but it was usually two pieces of information going against each other. Mm-hmm. Now it's 50.
Yeah.
I mean, it's like 50 different things are competing for your focus, for your attention, and for your worship. Yeah. And here's what I say worship is. It is what you do with your mind, your body, and your mouth. So here's how you evaluate that. Is my mind filtering in and the truth being put in there to filter everything else? Mm-hmm. Is my body and what I say reflecting that? And it all comes down to this. It's God's truth and his gospel. What is the gospel? What is God's truth? Are you filtering everything with that in mind?
Amen.
through your brain? Because your mind is your worship, what you do with it.
What you think with
it. Your body and your mouth, what you do with it, that is your worship. It is not going to church and giving your offering and singing and listen to a sermon. How many sermons do you really remember anyway?
Right.
I mean, Amen. Let's just be honest about this.
That's right.
A pastor speak. Come on. How long do you remember that?
That's why you got to have one every time you get home and they'll say, somebody say, so how was church? Oh, it was great. What did they talk about? Forgot.
Exactly. You know, or you remember one punchline. That's it.
Exactly.
You know, he talks for 25 minutes and you remember a 3-second segment.
Yeah.
Okay.
Amen.
But are you filtering God's truth in your brain all the time? Because it's really about having the mind of Christ. You know, Paul talks about this in 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Remember, the spirit man, he can make judgments about all things because we have the mind of Christ. And then it's also thinking about it in this terms, we want to take every thought captive to the obedience of Christ. Every thought. Jesus tells us to do this because he knew not only then, but he knew later on how many issues people would be dealing with. And that as time grew, there would be more and more and more different types of information competing for your attention.
That's right.
Really what worship is what you lend your affection to.
Oh, yeah.
And idolatry is misplaced affection.
Amen.
It is. Amen. And our affection needs to be to Christ.
Amen.
All right. Not all these other things. And culturally, we're taught all these different belief systems.
Yeah.
We are. And somebody one time said, well, the most important thing's family. I said, really? What if that family doesn't believe in Christ? And think about all the things and the habits and the beliefs they're instilling in those people. If you're steering them away from Christ, no. Christ actually spoke against this very thing that you're proposing. Luke 14, if you do not hate your mother, your brother, your father, your sister, even your own life, you are not worthy to be my disciple.
That's right.
By yourself, take up your cross and follow me. He was saying, I am the only way. It is not your family. It is not yourself. It is not your culture. It is not all these other things. He said, there is only one way, and that is through me. And that was Jesus speaking.
Amen. Well, Scott, we're about out of time. And I want to thank you for joining us today and bringing clarity to such a profound and prophetic passage. If someone wanted more information or wanted to ask you a question, maybe do an interview like this. How can they get in touch with you?
Hey, all they got to go to do is email me at tswright@ghnglobal.net. Amen. And we're also on the verge now of putting the YouTube channel out. And of course, you and I have been talking about some other things. And Bob and I here are going to, looks like we're going to be partnering on some stuff moving forward. So you guys need to be ready to go. And we're definitely ready to launch.
Amen. Amen. I'll put links, all that in the show notes below. Folks, as we've heard, the spreading of knowledge isn't just about data. It's about direction. It's about recognizing the times we're in, aligning ourselves with the Word of God, and being ready, not caught off guard. If you find yourself overwhelmed by everything going on in the world right now, I encourage you, go back to what Jesus said. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will by no means pass away. Matthew 24:35. Amen. Drop down the shelves, get in touch with Scott Wright, order his book. Be sure to listen to the God Center podcast. Praise God. And be sure to stay grounded in the red letter words, folks. Jesus said it, and he said, my words will never pass away. So stay alert, stay faithful. Till next time, be blessed in all that you do.
Thank you for listening to today's episode of the Kingdom Crossroads Podcast. Please subscribe to our podcast so you can be notified when another episode is published. With over 800 interviews and 1,000 published episodes, Pastor Bob is known as a podcasting expert for helping others to create their own podcast to share their messages with the world. Please visit our website at www.podcastersforchrist.com. That web address again is www.podcastersforchrist.com for more information. Until next time, be blessed in all that you do.
Are you ready to amplify your message, grow your ministry, or build your faith-based business? Faithcaster Academy makes podcasting simple for Christian entrepreneurs, providing everything you need to launch and succeed. As a very special offer, use code KCR, that's all caps, KCR, all caps, at checkout and get over 40% off your membership. Don't wait to share your faith and make an impact through podcasting. Visit faithcasteracademy.com right now and take the first step towards reaching your audience. Be sure to enter that coupon code KCR and be blessed in all that you do.